Senior Focus.
Welcome, everyone, to this session of Senior Focus. I'm Anne-Marie Currie. I'm your presenter today. And with me today, I have Susan Jordan. Welcome, Susan.
Thank you. Welcome. Yes,
and,
thank you.
And Susan has a history of working in the dance movement sector. She's a very interesting person, and I've particularly wanted to have her on the program for some time because she has an overview about the sorts of issues that seniors are facing, the sorts of pressures that are coming on society needing to grapple with having a rapidly growing aging population. And in addition to all of that, Susan's had her own mission of seeking funding to support the work that she does with seniors in terms of movement and dance. But in that process, she has gone abroad to find out more about what has been done for seniors in other countries. And so I'm very keen to talk with her today and elicit more information about her experiences. So thank you for joining us, Susan.
You're welcome.
Now, age-friendly is I guess, the kind of umbrella topic that we're talking about. And in that bracket, I've talked a lot about age-friendly in terms of what pressure was being brought to bear on the council for the council to become an age-friendly city. And I think we're at a stage now, some of us are scratching our heads wondering, how can we get this movement better understood in New Zealand and more support across the board? And so I thought back to when Alex Kalachi came here, and that was 2011, I started having meetings with people about this topic. And Alex Kalachi was a leader from the UN. He was travelling the world, talking to people whose cities were going age-friendly. And from his experience of being working in this field for 10 years, he said you had five sectors that you had to get on board. One, of course, was the government. The second one was the council. The third one was academia. The fourth one was business. And the fifth one was your not-for-profits and communities. And in broad terms, I guess, just reviewing where we're at, we've got the government committed to a degree because we've got the positive ageing strategy being redrafted. It's gone out for consultation and the launch of the new strategy is this Friday at Parliament. And so we've got at least a presence in government. We have somebody in Cabinet who is representing seniors. On the council, we have the Mayor leading the signed-up process for us to become an age-friendly city, as the council has voted for that last year. It's a work in progress because obviously they're consulting as to what is important to go into the process. And I could talk a lot about that, and I think that's the subject of another program. But there's also the academia, what's happening there, and I think that's very powerful at the moment. There's a lot of research going into what does it mean to age well, what's well-being all about in old age, and what kinds of things need to be done differently in order to cater for a much larger older population. So there's a lot of research going on, a lot of PhDs being done in a lot of different areas, with, and even one being done on seniors and radio, I believe. So it's quite exciting. In academia, they are now having, of course, the regular biannual conference. The Vision for Ageing in Aotearoa is the next one. That's at Te Papa in April next year from the 6th to the 7th. And that's the Association of Gerontology that runs the biannual conferences on ageing. So it's a sort of a bit of a plug for that. It's a bit early, but they're already taking registrations of interest. And it's certainly, if anyone's got an interest in this area, I would recommend that you keep looking at the Age Concern website or the Association of Gerontology. Now, the two areas that really haven't featured greatly have been communities, not-for-profits. There's been small amounts of work done, seminar days and things run by EDCOS, but in the business community, largely it's retirement industry focus, I think, but there hasn't been anything really spectacular yet. And Fisher and Paykel Healthcare and other organisations are that cater for aspects of ageing in terms of the technology they're trying to work with. I think they are contributing, but there's not a huge amount going on. It's sort of like the silver dollar is somewhat hidden and not necessarily in view when people are doing planning and strategy. And that's, of course, partly why it's so difficult to get council and government fully engaged, because they're listening to business and business isn't necessarily well informed in this area. So it's different in other countries. It's different in Japan, for example, because they are super aging. They have 25% moving over 65, and they're really concerned at the numbers they've got over 100, which are quite substantial. So I guess everybody has to look at this from their own societal point of view. But in New Zealand, because we are small and our population spread out, we aren't always seeing the patterns in the data and what is actually happening on the ground fast enough.
Well, if I could come in here and just explain how I come to this.
Sure.
So I'm a baby boomer, early baby boomer, born at the end of 1947. I was one of the fortunate ones that started dance training when I was little. I was seven, so I've been in the dance industry all my life. I formed my first not-for-profit when I was in my late 20s, when I formed my first dance company. And I've been in the not-for-profit ever since. So I've grown up in the arts sector, and I've come to ageing as I've aged. And I've come, so I've been dancing all my life. And about 10 years ago, I set up classes for seniors because I was challenged by why I wasn't doing anything. Now, before that, when I was younger and as a professional, I was not interested in older people. I was interested in my own career. But, of course, many of us come to it as we understand what it is to be ageing when we are ageing. There are a lot of people out there delivering to seniors in all sorts of arts. So having set up these dance classes, seniors dance, I then started to discover the whole concept of creative ageing, not just active ageing, which is fantastic, but creative ageing. So the creative aspect, learning new things. And it's certainly been proven that by gerontologists that to start new work, to start new things is great for the brain. So we've got to look at our physical, our whole being, our physical being, our mental development and our social well-being. That's all tied in together. So from the five sectors that you talked about, I certainly know the not-for-profit sector, but also academia. And there have been many, many research papers written and published about how great dance is for seniors, all sorts of dance, but not just dance, any creative form, especially if it's new. So I was funded by Arts Council last year to go abroad and see what was happening in the UK and parts of America. Now, in the UK, creative ageing has been going on for ages, and it is very well funded, in particular by the Barring Foundation. But there are creative ageing festivals in Scotland, that's the Luminate one. There's ones in Ireland, one in Wales, and there's new ones starting in England. And there's been festivals, dance festivals for seniors in London for a long time. The very first company of elders was formed at Sadler's Wells. It's now 30 years old. So they've had creative ageing in that country for a long time. It's very well understood, encouraged by the EU. Goodness knows, as England leaves, as the United Kingdom tries to leave Brexit, I think that would be a huge disadvantage to seniors and to the artists in particular. So I learned a lot there about what they were doing and how well they were doing it. And it sort of falls into three areas in Britain. There are those who are professional artists who've never retired. That's easier for musicians and visual artists and writers. You just keep on doing it. It's much harder for dancers because our bodies break down. We're elite athletes. So there's still a whole sector of professional artists who are seniors, who are continuing to do their art form. Many of those people now become teachers, and many that's, you know, they have taught all their lives. So they've just, as I have done, aged and started teaching senior people as well. So in all sorts of forms of art, there's a huge area for what we call the people who are seniors but who are not in any way disabled. Then there's a whole section which is far more in the therapy area with age-related disabilities, and there's certainly training for people who are delivering dance classes, art classes, music classes, dealing with people who have Parkinson's, dementia, stroke, anything related to age-related. There's a lot of activity, and many of those people are very well funded through the health sector.
And Susan, I guess really the reflection here is that different countries operate societies differently. They have different systems of governance, and so that impacts on the entry points for how people might manage looking at ageing and how they and what sort of services they might offer and how they're funded. So what did you find in America?
Yeah, well, America is very different. First of all, it's a federal system. I landed and I went to Washington, D.C., which is where I did my master's in choreography back years ago. And there used to be a national organization there for creative aging, but it got so big that it actually imploded. And it had just imploded when I got there. I was hoping to, but they used to have national conferences, annual conferences, and that was no longer available. However, I did make contact with several different groups who are still offering all sorts of art, creative art, for different levels of people, people who were fit and healthy, and those who were suffering from age-related lifestyle, really. So DC, I visited a couple of organisations there. I then went up to Canada and Montreal, but in particular dance there. There's very strong the Central Ballet, Classical Ballet Company, certainly have a lot of activities for community. So seniors is just one of the many things that they offer, dance classes for seniors. From there I went over to San Francisco, and quite amazing work that's going on there. I would hope to get back to San Francisco sometime for a conference that they might have. All sorts of people working in all different areas, both in the area for active adults and those who are suffering from age-related disabilities, all sorts of things that they're doing. And they have a huge creative industry there that has been going for years. So, you know, this is just a natural outgrowth of artists who themselves are aging, and they see the need, they understand the need, and they are supplying and catering for that need, which is fantastic. I can't really comment on the funding in America. It's a very different system to what we have. But what I really observe in San Francisco is that they're so connected with each other, and that's what I want here in New Zealand. There's a lot going on. I really only know Auckland, and even there, you know, that's the first meeting we had in September, which was organised by Creative New Zealand, and that was great, just getting us in the one room. I really want to get together with lots of other artists, be they musicians, be they choir people, be they visual artists, be they writers. There's all sorts of art forms. I'd love to get together, be able to discuss what they're delivering and how they're delivering it. Because what I noticed both in Britain and from what I can understand in America, there's not the training available. There's a real lack of, I've had to learn the hard way. What do I, I was used to working with pre-professionals at a tertiary level and at a professional level. To break that down to new people who are just starting out in dance in their 70s or 60s is an entirely different matter. Their bodies are very different to young people in dance. So we lack the training, and I just wonder, you know, how we can do that, because the need is going to becoming really obvious. So I'd like to get together with other artists who are already offering and discuss with them what we can do and, you know, what's possible. I'm also connected to the academia. I mean, it was Jean Cohen, a gerontologist back in Washington, D.C., who first discovered in the late 80s, early 90s, his research pointed out that it was doing creative activities, especially new creative activities, was so great for the brain. He was one of the first gerontologists to start. He actually created the name creative aging. It was his term, and it's just gone from there. So the research really backs up all that we're offering and all that we're saying. The challenge for us is finding the teachers, being able to train the teachers. The challenge is the financial side of it, because most seniors are on a fixed income, whether they're in a retirement village and have managed to
a license to occupy.
Even those people are on fixed incomes, so you can't go charging the amount that you would charge for normal dance classes. And, you know, I find it really hard with all the expenses that I have, and I imagine all other teachers do too. You're hiring the venue, paying for your website, there's all the management side of it, so you don't make much money out of it. I do apply for grants. I've run two shows last year and this year, the Aspire show, which is the senior show. All the dancers have to be 60 or over, and there's a whole variety of dance genre and ethnicities that are in those dance shows, and that's a public showing, a public outworking of creative aging. And I think there should be exhibitions, there should be all sorts of activities. I'd love the council to have a creative aging festival. That's what I would love. That's my long-term aim. So I do apply for funding for that, but it's really hard to get funding just to help with the teaching. And there's also a limit to how much management that I can do. I mean, me personally, what I'd love to do is just be teaching the art and not have to worry about all the funding and all the management side of it. Somebody asked me recently, have I got a succession plan? And I had to laugh because I don't know anyone I can... I can train to take this on after, you know, maybe I should retire when I'm 80. I'd like to keep dancing, but I don't want to keep doing the amount of management I'm doing at the moment. So, yeah, we need younger people coming through and taking this up and on.
We do indeed. The whole funding question, that could be the subject of a program and a discussion, because it's not just funding the creative stuff for seniors. It's funding all kinds of social things to allow people to get out of their homes and break down social isolation.
Yeah.
So there isn't currently a lot of funding around for seniors for anything, because as you have pointed out in that meeting in September, I mean, the funding is for youth, and if there's any other focus, it's usually to do with Pacifica and Māori. It's to do with the browning of the city, and they are the youth too, because they're the biggest bulk of the youth and the most disadvantaged. So,
and there is sometimes available funding for those who are disabled. So if you're old and disabled, but that's the ambulance at the bottom of a cliff.
Yes.
There needs to be more funding for those of us who are well to keep us going well. We cost less than those who are disabled. So the funding model is difficult. It's a challenge. And it's hard when you're just by yourself. I do work on... So So that's for the Aspire show that I put together. But for my own work, I have had some funding, but it's done really hard work, just reporting on it all, getting it and reporting it, and yes.
It's hard tiring. Work anyway, whether you're doing it. Well, it's particularly hard when you're doing it by yourself.
Yeah,
but I've had a lot of experience doing funding in the not-for-profit sector, and I would say that it's never easy. And
no, it's not.
You
I've
have
just
to
done
be...
the reports for all the funding I got for the Aspire show. You know, they're tedious, but you have to do them.
That's right.
And, you know, you've got to be responsible. It's public money. I completely understand that. But, yeah, the seniors are locked out of it. There's always money for youth. I don't want to take it away from the youth, but seniors are never mentioned, and that's got to change, in all sorts of ways.
Well, what we really need is something like the green prescription, only a pink prescription. You know, it's about self-care and prevention.
Yes.
So if we could actually, and for those who don't know what a green prescription is, this is where you go to your GP and your GP writes the notice out to say that you're a person who will benefit from attending movement
well,
and fitness
I
classes.
I certainly have people from the green prescription because I'm registered with the green prescription and they get, you know, a few of them get referred over to me, and also the strength and balance, the new ACC program, there are referrals from there, but there's no funding involved with that. People don't come, with funding attached to them. I'd like to be able to offer free classes, but I can't. There's no way I can do it. It's just not possible. What I would like to see formed, and I'm not going to do it, but I'd like to see formed a Creative Aging Trust so that festivals can be gotten underway. And that's just here in Auckland. I don't really know what's going on in the rest of the country. There is a conference that I'm going down to for mature dancers down in Christchurch. But that's next Easter. It's called Seasoned, and that's great. But mature dancers are 45 and over. Well, I wouldn't put a 45-year-old in with class with my average age of 75. They cannot do the same thing. So I'm hoping to be able to talk about creative aging down there, that it's a different sector again. But I can see the need for a creative aging foundation or organisation here. But I'm not going to start it. I want to keep doing the art. So hopefully other people will get it together. And we can make far more of the 1st of October, which is the IDOP, International Day of the Older Person.
There are
events that happen around the country, and that's great, but they're not creative. They're rather, they can be quite dull. You go in and you find out about this and about that, and that's great. It's information gathering, but they're not presented in a very creative way. And certainly just going by Aspire, people loved Aspire. They love seeing older people dancing, and it just, it showed us up in a great positive light. It was just fantastic. So there needs to be more of that happening around for all the arts.
Well, indeed. And really, when you start to investigate what's happening in the senior community and what's happening in the arts community generally, you will find that there's an enormous number of societies, and whether they're choral societies, film appreciation, music groups, and so on. And the bulk of the people in them are seniors.
Yes, they are.
So there is a huge amount going on.
There is a reluctance from some people to want to be labelled senior. I've come up with that a few times.
Yes.
No, I'm not senior. It was almost a denial of aging. I come across that occasionally. I suppose it's easier for those who've always, say, they've been in always sung and have always been in choirs. They've just aged gently with it and they don't notice the fact.
Yes, I think that too. But the key thing is the isolation, the fact that the seniors are living in lots of different pockets, but they're not coexisting with any connection. And it's this connection that you mentioned. I got really excited when you mentioned about how connected these people were overseas.
Yeah.
I think that's what we lack, and that's what a festival would do for us.
Well,
it would start to get that sort of thing happening.
Exactly. And you don't, well, I was going to say you don't do the arts alone. You do. You can write alone and you can paint, you can do visual arts alone.
Mm.
But most of the arts are collaborative. Most of the art, you don't dance alone.
No.
You know, so that very social connection, you know, and I know some people who come to class so that they can go out for coffee afterwards. It's their time of meeting, and I mean, I provide a cup of tea if they want to stay, but some tend to go off to a cafe to have proper coffee. So the social connection's really important for people. And the other thing with dance, which is interesting, we all dance, you know, we have to financially downsize from a big house usually to a smaller place. So a lot of people find that they become quite, you know, small. Their space is small. And coming into a hall where they dance, suddenly the space is bigger. And that does something to their emotion and, you know, that they can express themselves in a bigger environment. And it's open for research. I think that's a very interesting area that needs to be researched. So I'm always giving people movement to make them go bigger movement. Don't be downsized in your movement.
Yes.
Claim your space. That's what I say to people. Claim your space.
And indeed, that's the note on which we're going to finish. Not only claiming our space, but we'll make sure that information's available through the website for planetaudio.org.nz and on our Facebook page. We'll make sure that there's information out there for how people can make contact and come and try a class out or get involved locally. And at the same time, it's really up to each and every senior to improve the well-being of seniors by making us all more visible, by
yes.
getting out and expressing
yes.
ourselves.
Yes.
And so on that note, I'm going to say thank you, Susan, for engaging with us in this conversation today. And we'll look forward to hearing from you again later and maybe a festival next year.
Maybe. Well, thank you for the opportunity to be able to talk and share with people. I feel very passionate about this. So, yes, let's claim our space together. Thank you.
And Kat Stevens will lead us into the consideration of why it's important to express ourselves. So can't keep it in from Kat Stevens.
Oh, I can't keep it in. I can't keep it in. I've got to let it out. I've got to show the world. The world's got to see all the love. Love that's in me. I said, why? So much to say, say what you mean, mean what you think and say anything. Oh, why must you waste your life away? You've got to live for today, then let it go. Oh, lover, I wanna spend this time with you. There's nothing I wouldn't do if you let me know. Keep it in. I can't hide it and I can't lock it away. I'm up for your love. Love heats my blood. Blood spins my head and my head falls in love. Oh. Way to live your life, you allow too much to go by, and that won't do. No, lover, I wanna have you here by my side. Now don't you run, don't you hide while I'm with you. Oh, oh, and I can't keep it in, I can't keep it in. I've gotta let it out. I've gotta show the world. Gotta see all the love that's in me. I said, why walk alone?
you thinking?